Well, you could open your Bibles again if you like to Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 18th verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, we're discussing this part right now. Praying always with all prayer or all manner of prayers, one translation reads. Another translation reads, praying with all kinds of prayer. The Bible teaches us or tells us about different kinds of praying and prayer. We need to realize that. We need to realize that the same rules do not necessarily govern all the different kinds of praying. And so we started, first of all, discussing the prayer of faith or the prayer to change things. And, of course, the classic text, as we said, on that subject is Mark 11:24. Where Jesus said, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Now notice, believe that ye receive and ye shall have. That is the prayer of faith. And Jesus made a number of statements along this line. Actually, this, like I said, is the classic text. But in talking about faith, you remember in Mark's gospel, for instance, the word of God tells us that Jesus, you know, he'd gone up on the mountain, Mount Transfiguration, as we call it, with his three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. You could open to the 9th chapter of Mark, if you like. And he came down. The word of God tells us that he came to his disciples and he saw... Well, let's just start reading the 14th verse. When he was come to his disciples, and he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft time it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion or mercy. Same Greek word is translated compassion is translated mercy. Have compassion or mercy on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, did you ever stop to think about it? That's really what Mark 11:24 says. Amen. Because the principle of faith is the same. What things ever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, here's another thing that you need to notice in connection here. This man said to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have mercy on us, have compassion on us, and help us. Now notice that Jesus turned it right around and said, it's not so much of a matter what I can do or what I can't do. Where the problem is, what can you believe? That's where the crux of the whole matter is. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, so many times in prayer, that's what folks do. They just sort of leave it up to the Lord. When actually the Lord's left it up to you. Because remember our other golden text for the prayer series, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. And my words abide in you. Amen. Amen. And so there is a sense in which we might say in the final analysis, whether or not your prayers heard and answered depends upon you more than it does God. Now you have to qualify that in that God's already made the provision. We understand that. But it's according to what you do with his word. And so this man just, in one sense of the word, you could say, just throwed the whole thing over in Jesus' lap. If you can do anything, have mercy on us and help us. And he turned right around and throwed it in the man's lap. We agreed to passing the buck, aren't we? We human beings. He said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. How many? Thank God all things are possible to him that believeth. I believe that, don't you?
Amen.
Now notice in Matthew, Jesus said something else. Actually, this is Matthew's account of what he said about faith. Notice that Jesus said in Matthew, the 21st chapter. And we'll read 20th verse and 21st verse and 22nd verse. And when the disciples saw it, that is, the fig tree withered away, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now notice that 22nd verse. That's the one I want you to get. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer. So he's talking about praying, isn't he? He's talking about prayer, isn't he? And he's talking about the prayer of faith, isn't he? And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now just leave the word believing out and read that. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, ye shall receive. That would be wonderful if it's that way, wouldn't it? No, it really wouldn't. I said, no, it really wouldn't. For the simple reason that if you didn't know the word, you'd be asking for things, you know, it's not in line with the word, and you don't want them. You might think you do, but you don't.
That's right.
And you'd be in a mess.
Yes.
See, believing comes along with knowing the word, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing. Well, now you can't believe for something that's not promised you in the word.
Amen.
Because you don't have any foundation for faith. Amen?
Amen.
And you're not going to believe God for something that the word already declares is not for you anyway. Like I give reference, and it's extreme, I know, but I'll refer to it again about the man that actually wanted me and the pastor to agree with him that God would give him the wife of another man there in church. Well, you're ready to see that's not in line with the word. He's not going to be able to believe for that, is he? Well, there's a lot of other things you couldn't believe for either. That's not in line with the word. But I'll tell you one thing about it. You can be sure of this. Anything that the word of God promises you, that's the reason we need to get the word in us. That's the reason we need to know the word. That's the reason we cannot really have a successful prayer life without knowing the word.
Amen.
And without our faith, it's not real Bible faith if it's not based on the word, because Bible faith is believing the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. But the thought I wanted to make is that it's the prayer of faith. Praise God. Amen. All things. You ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and ye shall have them. Well, of course, you understand this, that those things have to be in line with God's word. God's not going to answer something that's not in line with his word. But you see, that's the reason people a lot of time, I call it just spin their wheels and never get anywhere, because they're praying in the dark. See, the Bible said, the psalmist of old said, the entrance of thy words giveth light.
Amen.
The entrance of his word. Well, you see, then, if you've got his word in you, then you're not in darkness about that. You're in the light about it. You don't have to. You see, a lot of time now, you folks have, we all have, I guess, somebody needs healing, and we begin to talk to them, and about the first thing they'll say, well, it may not be God's will to heal me. Well, you know right away the word hadn't gotten in them. Say, you believe it is God's will, but they believe it isn't God's will. Are you going to get them healed? No. So, realize this, that you can't always pray the prayer of faith for the other person. Now, you know, like I said, there are times that you can't, especially when people are baby Christians and so on. But you can't, not like a person like that. You're talking to them about healing, you know, want to pray for them. Well, I just don't believe it's God's will to heal everybody. Or again, somebody said, well, I know, I've had them tell me, I know God does heal all right, but I don't believe it's God's will to heal me. Well, you're not going to get any results then.
That's right.
because you're not in agreement. So that brings us to another kind of praying, which is the prayer of agreement. And that is a kind of praying, isn't it?
Yes. Amen.
Now, turn to Matthew, the 18th chapter, and we'll read about the prayer of agreement. Now, realize this, that you see, so many people have tried to make the prayer of faith, in other words, my prayer of faith, to work for everybody. No, it'll work for you, but you can't make it work for the other fellow. Now, for instance, the one should have known better, but now here's two faith teachers. I could call their names and you'd know them, but you see, we mean this to be constructive criticism, not destructive, so therefore we don't call their name. But one of them said to me, the other, you know, they're on a preaching engagement together, you see, or teaching, because both of them are teachers, more so than preachers. And so one of them said to the other, you know, I'm just going to pray and believe God. You need an airplane, you know, a little airplane. You can't just get in anywhere in these big ones. You know, and he didn't always go to the big cities. Do y'all always go to big cities? Well, you can't get in the big airplane in the big cities, can you? But these little towns, you know, and most all of them got a little airport, you know, and a little plane, get in. I'm just going to pray, you know, God will give you, just believe God for you, an airplane. He said, no, you're not. And I want one. Well, now he can't push that. He can't believe God for him an airplane and him not wanting one. I know a certain person. I'm not going to call their name either. But this person's husband died. Been dead several years, really. And this other preacher now, I'm just going to believe God to give you a husband. Well, she may not want any husband. You can't push a husband on off her if she don't want one. You can't push that airplane. You see, I think maybe we thought this prayer, some people thought, I don't know why they did. I tried to make it as clear as I could. Maybe some didn't. But they just think this prayer of faith business is just sort of a panacea that'll fit everything and everybody, you know, don't need any other kind of praying. Well, that's unscriptural. Because he said praying with all prayer. Not, he didn't just say praying with the prayer of faith. He said praying with all prayer, all manner of prayer, all kinds of prayer. Amen?
Amen?
And so this one, he can't push that airplane off on that other fellow. He don't want an airplane. No, he told me personally. I mean, talking to me face to face. The personal conversation. Said, you know, it took me, I don't know how long to get that over to him. Well, I don't know. I think a fellow like that going out teaching on faith, the other fellow is going to push the airplane on him. It'd be dangerous to listen to him. No wonder you get all confused. No, he said, I don't want any little airplane. Couldn't fly it myself anyhow. And I don't want one anyway. I'm well satisfied just to go my way the way I'm doing it. You're not going, yeah, I'm going to believe God for it. He said, no, you're not. Yeah, I'm just going to believe God. For you, an airplane. No, when the other person is involved, you're going to have to get them in agreement with you. And if you don't get them in agreement with you, it's just simply not going to work. Now then, you've got your Bibles open here to Matthew's Gospel. Let's notice the 18th and 19th and 20th verses because they all go together. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, there's a lot of comments you could make about that, but I'll just make some observation, and we'll get back to that verse later on sometime in some of our teaching. If that's all right with you. If it's not all right, we'll do it anyway. Now, one thing, however, I would like to call your attention to, if you don't mind. Just food for thought, in other words. Get you started thinking. Which heaven is he talking about here? Because see, the Bible tells us that there's three heavens. Doesn't it?
Yes.
Said, doesn't it?
Yes.
How do we know? Well, open your Bibles to the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, the way we'd said about 14 years ago. Now, all Bible scholars And theologians that I've ever read after know anything about all agree that Paul's talking about himself, his own experience. And I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in of the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such as one caught up in where? Where? Well, if there's a third heaven, there has to be a second heaven. And there has to be a first heaven, doesn't it? Well, here he doesn't say which heaven it is. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now let me ask you this question. You see now then, where is this third heaven? What is it? Well, go on reading there in 2 Corinthians 12. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, such as one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such as one caught up into paradise. Well, the third heaven is paradise, isn't it? Is there anything bound in paradise? Huh? Is there anything there that would need to be loosed? Huh? Then he must have been talking about one of these other heavens then, mustn't he? Huh? Now, we'll not go into that yet. We'll get into that a little later on. But just little food for thought. Little food for thought there. You know what I mean? Get you to thinking. Get those old rusty gears up there in your brain a-going. Amen. Now another thought. Notice something had to be done on earth before it was done in heaven. Notice it all began on the earth. It didn't begin in heaven. What things ever you shall bind on earth or shall be bound in heaven. What same thing you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Notice heaven didn't do anything till earth did something. Amen? Notice God doesn't do anything till somebody on earth calls on him. Notice that he encourages them to. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's an important principle here we need to learn. We'll get back to it later on in some detail. We want to go to the 19th verse now and talk about the prayer of agreement. Now notice. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth. Now that's plain enough, isn't it? Two of us on the earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask. There's a good possibility that it might be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. No. It shall be done. Say it out loud, everybody. It shall be done. That's positive, isn't it?
Amen.
Shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now let's go on reading. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now see, we use that verse very often, and it's partially true, but that's really not what the verse is talking about. About a church service. Well, the Lord's here because he said where two or three gathered together in my name. And that is true. He is there. But he wasn't talking about a church service. What he was talking about is where those two people or three people are gathered together in agreement. He's right there to see to it that what they agree on is done. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
All right. Now I've got back up again to that 19th verse and let's analyze it. Let's notice something here. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, it shall be done. No. We left part of it out. As touching anything they ask. Notice every time you have to ask. You notice other scripture you looked at? Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things before you ask. What things ever you ask. In prayer, believing, you shall receive. Amen?
Amen?
Well, you're in agreement with me, aren't you? Yeah, but we didn't ask anything. It won't work. You hear people all the time. You just start listening. Say, agree with me on that. If you didn't ask anything, it still won't work. It's sort of like the story I tell one time, a meeting I was holding. We just used this church facility, put on our own meeting, took up our own offering, put our offerings in the church they had a safe in one of the rooms there. I didn't take care of that. I had a fellow that was manager of the meeting and so on. I taught morning and I did all the preaching. He just, you know, took the pulpit and made announcements and sort of, ran the meeting. He was a minister too, but he was called back home because someone of his congregation had died. He had to go home and preach a funeral. And he gave me this little slip of paper with a combination on it for me to open the safe to get my money out. I tried it and wouldn't work. Couldn't get the safe open. Well, to make a long story short, I finally found out he had left one number out. Now, all these numbers that he gave me were all correct. But they won't work without the other number.
Amen.
See what I mean? And so you see, some people are 3/4 of the way correct, but it still won't work. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, now I've had people say, but they can agree with me. You know that I'll get a job. They didn't have a job, see. Agree with me that I'll get a job. Started walking away. I said, wait a minute. It won't work. We didn't ask anything. We just agreed on something. Amen?
Amen.
Just like this, you see, these folks are going to Norway. Well, we can all agree they're going to Norway, but we didn't ask anything. We can just say, well, now, Lord, we're in agreement with them about going to Norway, but we don't ask a thing. What is it that you're in agreement? Again, I said to you that if two of you shall agree, now notice, as touching anything that they shall ask. Let that soak in for a minute. You hear people on radio and television all the time quoting part of that verse. Well, the Bible said, two of you agree, so you're in agreement with. Now, this agree. Now, notice they never mention the asking. Did you ever notice that? You watch that. About 999,100 times out of 1,000. They'll leave the asking part out. And then they shake their head, blink their eyes, and wonder why it's not working. Well, it must not be the will of God, because it didn't work. It must not be God's will then for me. No, you got to ask. Everybody say, you got to ask.
You got to ask.
Amen. Yep. If two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they ask. It didn't say if they agree as touching anything, it'll be done.
No.
See, we need to just keep emphasizing that because we've gone so long the other way until it don't register on people. The wrong thought's already been planted there. Wrong seed, in one sense of the word, has already been planted there. You got to uproot that and get it out of the way to get the good seed in. Amen.
Amen.
Now, really, here this verse has been in the Bible all the time, but not too many times do we use it. How many times do you use it? Well, I think it's misused more than it's used. Because I have people all the time to ask me to get in agreement with them. They think if we get in agreement, it's going to happen. No, we still got to ask. So I just bring them right down to the point. You know, I left my last church in 1949, went out on the field of ministry. From 49 through 62, holding meetings in churches. And after the 10 o'clock service in the morning time, teaching service, you know, and of course, the crowd's small, not like they are in big auditorium meetings. And I'd talk to people, and they'd come to me with their prayer requests and so on and so forth. And that's the way I learned a lot of things. I know I'd ask them some questions because they'd ask me to pray with them. They'd ask me, will you be in agreement with me about this? I'd say, wait a minute. That won't work. Look at you like, well, you don't believe the Bible then. No, that's not what the Bible said. It said to ask, so this ask. Oh. Well, I've been asking. Yeah, but it said two of you do it. Amen. So let's get in agreement here. Amen. And ask. I can remember the first time I ever used that verse. I knew it was in there because I read it. But I didn't have any occasion to use it. I was preaching off out there in the country, see, just as a teenager. Started pastoring out there, and I was just 18. I was about 19 at this time. And a friend of mine, in fact, I'd known him. We played together before we ever started school in the first grade. Lived in the same end of town. We was in the first grade together, second grade together. And then I moved away and didn't see him anymore. Until he had gotten saved in this tent revival that came into town. I'd been saved and healed the year before, but lived in a different part of town. And so then we renewed fellowship and acquaintance. And you got to realize now that these are depression days. It's hard for you younger folks to realize if you haven't been there. Because the streets every day, I mean just full of men, got no work, no jobs. You could have a street service, preach to people every day if you wanted to, get a crowd. Because they got nothing to do, just stand around on the streets. And if you did happen to get something, I've done it myself. I've worked all day long. I don't mean 8 hours. I mean from sun up to sundown for $1. Glad to get it. There are thousands of people standing in line to be able to get the same thing if they could. Are you listening to me? Well, now this young man, see, he's about, well, he is not about, he is the same age I am, just about, just 2 months different, see. He's working, his brother has a garage. And it's not very big. I mean, you couldn't get over 4 cars in it. Just a little building he's rented by the side of the street. And overhauling car. Now, he gets $2.50 a week. I mean, that's his total salary. $2.50 a week. He doesn't have a suit of clothes. Never wears anything but a pair of khaki pants. Don't have a suit of clothes. So one day I stopped by the garage there and he's under a 35 Chevrolet, I guess, tightening the rods, you know, laying on one of those creepers, you know, tightening these rods. And I just sort of stooped down there on my knees, you know, and hollered at him because there wasn't nobody else around, you know, and I could see him, his feet sticking out. And so he said, where's Arnold? That was his brother. I said, well, I met him on the street as I coming down. And he spoke to him and said he's going to the bank. So he rolled that creeper, you know, they lay on to work on these cars, out from under that thing and motioned to him because I'd straighten back up because he's just laying there. And so I just got back down by the side of him, you know, hunkered down there. And he said, looked around, you know, like somebody might enter. There's nobody in there because I've already looked around. He said, I want you to pray for me. He's going with a little girl. He'd proposed to her, and she'd accepted the proposal. And he'd been going for the run. He said, we want to get married. Now, how are you going to get married on $2.50 a week? He said, I don't even have a suit of clothes. You know, I can't get married. I got to get another job or get a job and make enough money and save up enough to get me a suit of clothes, you see. And there's nothing else in town. I mean, there's no factory there. There's what we call a cotton mill down the south part of town, you know, made fabrics and so on. And he said, I put my application in down there. And when I put my application in, the personnel officer said, the lady said, well, I'll go ahead and take your vote too, but I've got 10,000 applicants ahead of you. There's not a chance in the world of him getting on. But he said, there ain't nowhere else. I mean, where else is there? I don't know of anywhere for a factory or anything like that. Well, I always either carried my Bible or my Testament with me. I didn't have my Bible. I just had a little Testament in this pocket here, you know. I pulled that out and I said to him, well, I happen to think of, you see, that's what we should do. But see, we don't. When some need arises or somebody talking to us or whatever, we ought to stop and analyze the situation. See, now, which kind of prayer will work here? But we don't. No, you just sort of, you know, just start praying without even stopping figuring it out. And mix it all up together and get it all messed up together. Well, now here, I knew this much, that this young man, he needs a job. And it's scriptural, you know, to marry. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth a favor with the Lord. Amen. I'm tired of standing up. I'm going to sit down. The Bible said Jesus sat down and talked to people. Who would object to me following Jesus' example? Besides that, you just look so comfortable there. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's thoroughly scriptural to get married. And so, and he needs a suit of clothes. He don't want to stand up there and get married in a pair of khaki pants. Work pants, you know, the grease on them. And so, I just opened my testament. I said, now see, it said right here, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask. Now we're going to ask, I'm going to pray this prayer. You listen to it and agree to it, because then if you agree to it, we're still asking. Now I said, Lord, we agree together that he'll have a job. Only place he'd put in application, only factor is there, really. And then I said to him, now, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's agree, because, you know, we don't put it off in the future. Let's agree that within 10 days' time, you'll have this job. He said, okay. So that's what we asked. We asked in 10 days. The 10th day, they called him. Yeah. The 10th day, they called him. He went to work. $10 a week. Who heard tell of anybody getting married on $10 a week? Well, I had people in my church. I'm thinking of a man right now who worked for the railroad. Railroads were booming in those days. I mean, he had a responsible position. He made $37.50 a month. $37.50 a month. He rented a house, paid his utilities, fed them, had three children, had an automobile, and drove to church on $37.50 a month. I mean, he rented a nice house for $5 a month. Electric bill never ran over a dollar. Buy a loaf of bread for a nickel. If you'd catch him with those 2 day loaves, 2 or 3 days old, they'd sell them to him for a penny. Whole big loaf. Amen. See, now you folk can't relate to that. Some of you can, I know, I can tell by looking at you, where you're going. Some of you older folks, particularly. See, some of you folks really missed out on a lot of things. Well, he got married on that. He got $10 a week, got married. Now, he built on up till he was a supervisor. Worked there several years. Became Sunday school superintendent in his local church. And then finally, God called him out in full-time ministry. And I guess he's going to be with the Lord just this past, well, almost a year ago now. But he pastored 2 or 3 different churches, but pastored one church for 35 years. Praise God. Amen. But the point I'm wanting to make, we got into agreement and we asked something. That's the first time I ever used that verse. Second time I ever used that verse was sometime after then, or next year, wasn't too old for long. I didn't have a car, walked everywhere I went. I preached out there in the country, but I'd walk or hitchhike a ride. And I don't know, I'd been somewhere and I was coming back to my part of town. I walked down across town to cross this courthouse square and all the buildings around it, you know, stores, and, you know, 10 o'clock at night and that time of year and the times we had, well, you know, just nobody there. And I saw this fella standing on a street corner over on the northeast corner of the square. And as I went by, I didn't even look, didn't even glance. I just saw somebody there. And he hollered at me, called my name. So I stopped, turned around, walked back up to him. Well, I recognized him then. He had just gotten saved about a month before. Nice, fine young man, got born again. And he said to me, Brother Kenneth, he said, I wish you'd pray for me. I said, well, what for? I'd always ask people, what for? So you're not going to believe for something that if they expect you to believe, you don't know what you believe for, and you're not going to get in agreement with something you don't know what you're agreeing on. Well, he said, I'll tell you, Keith, this is a depressing day. Jobs are hard to come by, but he had got a job. In connection with this particular job, he needed a car, and he didn't have a car. Now, he's not talking about getting a brand new car, just a good used one. And you could buy a good used car. It don't sound big, you know, but finally, out there where I went out to preach, Some folks got together, made his money, and they bought a good used car for $65. Chevrolet. Yeah. I mean, one like that today would cost you $3,000 or $4,000. Yeah, $65, what they give for it. Yeah. A used car, but a good one. See? And so he could buy one for something like that, but man, why, $65 were like a fortune. He didn't have a dime. And he said, if I have the job, I have to have the car. Well, I got my testament. I sort of like Wigglesworth. I read later Wigglesworth said, I never considered myself fully dressed if I didn't have my testament or my Bible on my person somewhere. I had my testament in the shirt pocket. It's summertime. I just had on a sports shirt. But I just reached and got my, we was on the street light there on the corner, and opened in Matthew 18:19. Now, what kind of prayer is going to work here? Well, this will work, because there's two of us involved, aren't we? Amen? And so we just stood right there and agreed. And I said, now, how soon you need that? He said, well, I'm going to have it in 10 days or else I've lost the job. I said, okay, you'll have it in 10 days. 10th day, got it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I never had any occasion to use that verse over a long period of time. If I had, I'd have used it. Amen. But I'm holding a meeting then years later in Plainview, Texas. And I'd started the meeting over in about the middle of November. And I knew because I'd been on the field holding a meeting. You can run right up to Christmas time if you get a good move of the Spirit going in a meeting and really going. If you don't, you can't because everybody gets, you know, holiday minded. It's just impossible. You've got to start around the 1st of December. If you wait to the second week of December, you're too late. Well, I'm in the middle. I didn't accept anything but for 3 weeks, so I'm here for 3 weeks. And that'll take me through the first week of, and I have a tentative engagement. But the parents said to me, Brother Hagin, I wish you'd just stay, you know, I mean, before we run our time out, we're in the midst of it. I wish you'd just stay with us right on through till Christmas time. We ran a 6 weeks meeting. I said, okay, I contact the next meeting. I said to you, just put it on, I'll come immediately after Christmas. Fine. But now he said to me, there's only one thing, if you won't accept under these circumstances, he said, you see, our people, he's in Plainview, Texas, and he had these big farmers all around. Some of them run sections of land. They'd run hundreds of acres. And they'd built them a new church. They made one payment a year. They didn't make monthly payments, see, because they'd wait till their cotton was king. And he said, we designate December of every year, every Sunday night offering goes to meet this mortgage payment on their building, you see. We make one payment a year. So I have to take the offering up every Sunday in December. And then I'll take you an offering up. And it may hurt your offering. See, that's, you know, that is a possibility. So if you want to stay, I said, that's all right. I believe God because God was moving and I felt it'd be good just to stay put. So I wrote my wife. Now, we did, like I said to you before, you know, we didn't, you know, you come up with a telephone. In my day, a telephone was a luxury, not a necessity. We didn't have a telephone. And then after we did, we never made a call, long-distance call, unless we had to. I mean, some folks just calling all the time. Running up $100 bill and then wondering why God won't bless him. Well, he don't bless extravagance. I believe in living well. I believe God said, if you be willing and obedient, you eat good in the land. But I don't believe God meant for us just to waste money on ourselves or church or ministry or anything else. I might just preach a little here or meddle or do something. I don't believe God just said, I believe he wants to bless you and you to have good things, but I don't think he wants you, I'll take that think out, I know. He don't want you just to go in debt and buy everything your little beady eyes rest on. Then get in a mess. get a bad name, especially if you're a preacher working for God, can't pay your bills. I know, I've been around a long time. A fellow said to me one time, my wife and I traveled, we stayed in motels, we were holding meetings in churches. Like I said, I'd never accept a meeting less than 3 weeks, stay four, five, six. And you just get tired of being shut up in a motel room for all that length of time. And back in those days, you got to understand, we didn't have all the nice motels we have now. And very seldom did they ever have one that they got a restaurant or a cafe in connection with it. And you had to get up and dress and go off down the street somewhere to get to a restaurant or a cafe or something, you know. So we decided to get a little travel trailer. We'd be more comfortable, and so we did. Well, I kept looking around for them, did look around, check out on this one, check out on that one. Even went to the factories where they were built and finally settled on one. Different place where we go, I'd talk to different dealers, run into some Christian men, and they'd say, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Minister, you know, you're in the ministry. I'll let you just $100 down and just, you know, they had financial term, and just pay it out like rent. Be much cheaper than a motel, you know, a whole lot. I mean, you can make a monthly payment, what you would, of course, motels were cheaper then, but what did it cost you for a week in a motel? And I said, no. I'm not going to put anything down. I'm not going to put a dime in it. Somebody's going to let me have one, and I'm just going to start paying it out right, like rent. I'm not going to put a dime in it. One fellow offered me one for $300 down. Most of them was more than that, you understand. They want about a fourth or a third down. Finally, this one fellow would give me one for $100 down because he's a Christian. I said, no. So I'm preaching up in the Bay Area of California, up at San Leandro, in a little full gospel church. And I said that to the pastor. You're going to buy me a travel trailer, so on. And he said, mentioned a man's name over at San Jose. I know him. Said he's in that business. And said he lets preachers have them that way all the time, just to help them. So he just got on the phone, phoned over there from San Leandro, long distance, and the man was there. And he knew him, but the man couldn't replace him right away. And he said, well, I'm pastor over here, so-and-so, gave his name. And then he said, Brother Kenneth Hagin's here, and he's wanting to... He said, Kenneth Hagin from Texas? He said, yeah. He said, put him on the phone. So I got on the phone. He said, praise God, brother. He said, I was healed in your meeting of incurable heart condition. Yeah, come on over. We got one for you. So we went over. Well, he didn't handle a particular brand of trailer I wanted. He had all kind of three or four there. But these fellas, well, he said, I'll get it for you. Because I'm getting trailers all the kind, you know, for other trailer companies. You know what I mean? People had trailer lots. And so we settled on, you know, and he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, and he went on to tell me. He said, you was preaching that camp meeting down here for the Four Square folks in 1954. I had 9 businesses here in California. And I came down with this heart attack. And a doctor said to me, sell your business because it's under too much pressure. Sell your business. Stay on this medication. Just lay around and rest. You might live 2 more years. Didn't make heart transplants and all that then. And so he said, I sold my businesses and I just lie around, you know, and just stay on the medication. We read where you was down there preaching this camp meeting. And he said, my wife made a bed in the back seat of the car and we went down there and you preached and you got through preaching. What I preached on was doubt, the thief of God's greater blessings. You remember what you preached on 1954? Thursday night in the camp meeting? I remember. Don't you wish you could remember like that? I don't remember that. You know where I got that? Out of my spirit. Praise God. You need to train your spirit. So, he said, we got in late. We was on the back seat there in that old tabernacle, that campground there. And he said, time came, you started to heal. And my wife said, because I just said, aren't you going to get in the healing line? He said, no, I'm not going to get in the healing line. At first, you know, she sort of felt like, well, he don't want to be healed. He said, no. Said, didn't you hear him? He just got through preaching faith. I am a believer. I've been going around saying I didn't have faith, but I do. Bless God. He said, I've already got my healing. It's mine now. No, he's been going down there. Van Lane's on his mind. He said to me, Brother Hagin, my heart was completely healed. He always said I had a few symptoms for a week or two or three or four, but they all disappeared. Went back to the doctor, couldn't find a thing wrong with my heart. I mean, the doctor said, somebody up there sure likes you. No, he said, he don't like me. Praise God, I like him. He's made the same provision for all of us. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, now then, I own 14 businesses here in California. I'm going constantly giving my testimony. He said, I speak every week to a Lions Club, a Rotary Club, some other one of these, you know, functions. And said, I always give a testimony how I was healed, even to them. And I'm going every Sunday to some church, denominational churches, you know, give them a testimony. Praise God, how I was healed. Yeah, he said, just one thing I asked. He said, Brother Hagin, I've got more trailers across the United States in the hands of preachers than anybody I know of. And more of them owe me money than anybody else I know of. Because the bank finances these, but I'm responsible for them. If they don't make the payments, I have to make them. And I've just got one right here, he showed me. I've just got a message right here. Here's a trailer I sold a man, a minister, a traveling evangelist. Now see, this is a tragedy. Preachers have a worse name for paying their bills than anybody else. Amen. If you don't believe that, you preachers, you ain't a preacher yet, you get to be when you go try to borrow money at the bank. And see what the banker tells you. It ought to be that way. They ought to be the best paying.
Yes.
So I had more sense than got himself in debt like they did. If you ain't got enough faith for it, don't buy it. That goes for y'all too. Is that all right?
Yes.
So he said, right now, he showed me this paper. He said, I just got this long distance call. Give him a number. He said, here's an evangelist. I call his name, but I'm not going to. You'd know it. Way up in the state of Pennsylvania. He's in California. Said, if he couldn't make it, why didn't he at least bring it back to me? But he just called and said, because you're 3 months behind with this payment, I can't pay for it. Come and get it. Now, I've got to hire somebody. See, fly somebody over there. Hire them to drive, you know. Or else send a truck to pull it back somewhere. Now you got to get it back. How are you going to get it back? Cost him money. He said, at least if you can't make it, pull it back here on the lot and just tell me I can't make it. And said, that's fine. You don't owe me anything. I said, don't bother about that. I can make it.
Amen.
And I did make it.
Amen.
He said, I believe it. But I moved in without making a payment, you see. How come me to get off on that? What?
Agreement.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. If two of you shall agree, that's touching. Amen. Anything they ask, there's a strong possibility. It might be done occasionally. Every once in a while.
No.
Shall be done.
Yes.
Shall be done. Well, you see, I needed that. I never did try to believe for something I didn't need. I don't know for sure. I know God loves me and he's interested in me all right. But amen. We need to stop and analyze the situation and see where we are. Amen. Praise God. And be sure of one thing, in everything we do, we are being a blessing to others.
Amen.
Glory to God. You getting anything at all out of these classes?
Amen.
Well, like I said to you, we're going to do more teaching here to begin with, because we're going to get a foundation to operate off of. Then we'll do more praying later.
Amen.
And then we'll mix it all up together. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, I'll get back, you know, where I was, and I asked you and you didn't know, so I'll tell you where it was. I was in Plainview, Texas. Remember that? You remember that, don't you? Plainview, Texas. That's where it was. They're going to make those payments. They got to take up that Sunday night offer. Now, I'll pick up there tomorrow. You're dismissed.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org or write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.